Shalom to all. Today's office moment, Sidaf Mem Tesa. We are starting about the 12th line with the words of Kahana. And today's office sponsor, Leilu Nishmas, Mars Miriam Sarah Basar Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an aliyah. And Leilu Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Yontif, remember Asher Anshul, his Nishama should have an aliyah. Now we're discussing a detail within the general idea of Misha Paro, which is backing out of agreement after money was paid, but before the Kinyan was made. Now there's Machlok Samayraim regarding when a down payment is made for goods. Does that represent the entire deal, preventing backing out on the whole thing? Or does it only represent the part corresponding to the money given, but one is allowed to back out from the rest? For example, $1,000 worth of merchandise is being purchased, $100 down payment was made, can they back out of the remaining $900 or no? So you have a story of Kahana Yavule Zuzia Kisna. They give money to Rav Kahana for linen, for Kisna, or for flax. Lasef Iker Kisna, at the end it went up in value and they want to back out. Also, Kamei Rav, he came to Rav, Amrlei told him, B'mayna Nikita Zuze Havlehu. Regarding whatever you got money for, meaning however much the down payment was, you have to give them that value in flax. But the Indach in regards to the rest, Dvarim Ninhu, that's just words. It's words in between you and them. It's verbal. Udvarim Embehemishim Chazir Amana, when we're dealing with words, a verbal agreement, it's not considered like there's a lack of trust over here. You're not considered a non-trustworthy person. You're not going to get a Misha Para, and you're allowed to back out of it. Itamar stated, Dvarim, in regards to verbal agreement, Rav Amarav says, Ein Behem Mishum Chasri Amana, there's no lack of trustworthiness over here. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan says, Yesh Behem Mishum Chasri Amana, there is a lack of trustworthiness over here. And this is Machlokes Samayraim, Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, is a person allowed to back out of the part of the deal which is just verbal, meaning not the part corresponding to the down payment. However, the Gemara's Mesfe, we have a brass that says, Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Matam Alemer, what's shot in the Pasuk, Hin Sadek? The whole Pasuk is telling us that a person has to make sure to have proper weights and measures, and also tells Hin Sedek that a person's measurement of a hin has to be proper. And the question is, Valei Hin B'chal Eifa Hayo? The measurement of a hin is included in the measurement of an Eifa. And Eifa is mentioned in the Pasuk, the one has to have a perfect measure of an Eifa, and it's not allowed to be off by a little bit. So, of course, a person has to have a perfect measure of a hin. Elam Lacha must be to tell you, from the fact that the Pasuk emphasizes Hin Sedek, that we darshan as follows, Shehei Hein Shelchat Sedek, that your yes should be Tzedek. V'lav Shelchat Sedek, when you say no, it also should be Tzedek. Namely, when you say yes or no, in other words, when you give a verbal agreement, you have to stick to it and you can't back out of it. So if you're clearly not like Rav. However, Rabbi Abaye says, Hahu Shalei Dabar Echo Pev Echo Belev, that's talking about that you shouldn't speak one with your mouth, but think something totally different in your heart. In other words, when you make a verbal agreement, you have to be 100% true about what you're saying. You can't be lying to the person and say yes when you really mean no, or the other way around. However, after you make the agreement, if something changes later on, you're allowed to back out. However, we continue asking basically, we have a Brass that says, Rav Shimon tells us, Aval Pisha Amru Talos Kainan Din Uzov, even though the Chum said that a Talos is Kainan Din Uzov, and we already know what this means, when a person makes a Kinyan on the Talos, said automatically is Mechayev him to pay the money, the Ein Din Uzov Kainan Talos, a Din Uzov is not Kainan Talos, meaning when you pay money, that's not Mechayev the Talos to be given, Mikol Makom Kachalacha, this is what the Halacha is, Aval Amru, but they said, Misha Par Man Shadar Mabel, Man Shadar Flaga, whoever punished the people of the Dar Mabel and Dar Flaga, who also the Par Misha Eno Eli Buroi, he's going to punish the person who doesn't stick to his word. So even though halachically a person might be allowed to back out, but he's going to get a Misha Para. As we see very clearly from his Braisa, that even when there's just a verbal agreement, a person's not allowed to back out. Question on Rav. The Gemara says, no problem, Tanahi, it's Machlex Tanahim. And so Rav has a time to support him. Then now we have Misha. It says, Mas Rabbi Yechanan Manasya, there's a story with Rabbi Yechanan Manasya, Sha'amr Lubnai, he told his son, Tseis Chalon Upayalim, go and hire workers for us. Halach, he went, Upasak Lahim Mizainas, and he stipulated with them that when they do work, he's going to give them food. Ukshwaita Aviv, when he came to his father, Amalai's father told him, Bini, my son, Afilata Islam Kasuda Shlaim Bashaitai, even if you make a Suda for them, like Shlaim Melch did in his time, which was an incredible Suda, it was huge. You wouldn't be Yetzir Chiv of feeding them, Shehin Bene Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, because they're sons of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and therefore there's no way that you'd be able to fulfill your word that you're going to feed them. El, rather, what should you do? Achal Yitzchak B'malacha, before they start working, Seva Marlehem, go and tell them, Al Menashe in Lechem Alai, El Paskin is Bavad, the only thing you have on me in regards to food is bread and legumes. Now, if you want to say that if a person doesn't stick to his word, he's considered not trustworthy, how could Rabbi Yechanan tell his son to go back out from their arrangement? That's Mechais Yamana. So it must be that there's no issue Mechais Yamana when we're dealing with Dvarim, when it's just a verbal agreement. So Rav has the time to support him. However, the Gemara says that's not a raya. Shani Hasim, that case is different. The workers themselves, they weren't semichdas. They didn't rely on what the son said. My time, why is that? Because made the yadi da'alavua samach. They knew that he was relying on his father, and therefore they weren't even relying on him. Ask the Gemara, if that's so, then even if they had already started the work, he still should be able to back out and say, well, I'm only going to feed you bread and kitnis. Why did his father say, quickly tell it to them before they start? And the answer to that is that if they had already started working, they for sure were saying mechdas on what the son said, and by then, the son would not be allowed to back out. Because Amru Meimar, they said to themselves, Amar Kameh Davua, he must have told his father, Vinichale, and his father was okay with it because he hasn't come back to tell us anything different. And therefore, Rabbi Yechanan Masya told his son that he has to get there before they start working. However, now we ask in Shitas Rabbi Yechanan, does Rabbi Yechanan really say this? Meaning in this Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rav, where Rabbi Yechanan says, Yesh Medvarim Mechais Yamana. We have something different, B'shem Rabbi Yechanan. Rav Rav Rechana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Harm L'chaveh, if a person tells his friend, Matana Ni Naisen L'cha, I'm going to give you the following present, Yachal Achzer Bai, he can be Chaiser from it. So first we pause and ask, Yachal Pshita, he's able to be Chaiser? Of course he's able to be Chaiser. Physically, he doesn't have to hand over the gift if he doesn't want to. So we clarify, Elo Mutter Lachzerboy, where Rabbi Yochanan really said was that he's allowed to be Chayzer, meaning it's 100% halachically okay for him to be Chayzer. So we clearly see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's no issue of retracting from a verbal agreement. So Rabbi Papa answers that Umadir Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Matana Muetas, when we're talking about a small Matana de Samchadatayu, that the person Samech Das and he relies on it. In other words, there's a difference. When we're dealing with something small, a small gift, or some small verbal agreement, then the person's not allowed to back out, and there's an issue of Mechesri Amana because the other party relied on him. He has Smichas Das. But when we're talking about a large gift, so then there's no Smichas Das anyway, and halachically he's allowed to back out. And Hachanam Mistav is actually logical to say this. Dom Rabbevo, Am Rabbi Yochanan, so another member of the name Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael Shomer Leben Levi, if a Yisrael told the Levi, Kur Meister Yash Lecha B'yadi, you have a Kur of Meister in my hands. In other words, I have a Kur of Meister and I'm going to give it to you. Ben Levi Rashai Lasay say Trumas Meister Malka Macher, that Levi is allowed to turn all this produce that's in the Yisrael's Rishos into Trumas Meister for a different thing. We know that when a Levi receives Meister, in order for him to be allowed to eat it, he has to separate Trumas Meister and give that to a Kayin. And so we're saying that when the Yisrael tells the Levi, I have a Kur of Meister for you, the Levi can rely that he's going to get it, so much so that if the Levi has produce that did not have Trumas Meister taken off of it, he can say, oh, that Meister that I have by the Yisrael, that should be Trumas Meister for this produce that I have in front of me. And we continue with the Raya. If you want to say that the Yisrael is not allowed to back out of this, that's why the Levi is allowed to turn this produce, which is still in the Yisrael's Rishos, into Trumas Meister. But if you want to say the Yisrael is allowed to back out from what he said, why would the Levi be allowed to turn into Trumas Meister? It's going to turn out that the Levi is eating Tevel, because maybe the Yisrael is going to back out of it, and then it's not going to be considered Trumas Meister. It must be the Yisrael can't back out, and that's because the Levi relied on him, there was Smichas Das, and this is considered a small gift. And why is that, even if it's a lot of Meister? Because Yisrael can't really do much with his Meister anyway. The only thing he can do with it is give it to whichever Levi he wants, and that's considered a small gift. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan differentiates between a large gift and a small gift. However, the Gemara says it's not a raya. What are we talking about over here? Where the Yisrael actually gave it to the Levi, and then the Levi redeposited it with the Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Yachiv, that's so aim a seifa. Take a look at the seifa. What does it say right afterwards? Nasal ben Levi Acher. Let's say Yisrael gave it to a different Levi. The first Levi is only allowed to have complaints against the Yisrael, but he can't actually take it away from the second Levi. Now, if you want to say they were acting about a case where the Yisrael gave it to the first Levi, and then the first Levi redeposited it with the Yisrael, why is the only thing the Levi's allowed to have on the Yisrael is complaints? Kim the Mashkei, since he did a Mashicha on this Meiser, it's considered his Mamanis by the Yisrael. It must be that we're talking about that the Levi did not take it from the Yisrael, and nonetheless, it's considered like the Levi was kind of to the extent that he could turn it into Trumas Meiser, and so we conclude that we do have a proof that there's a difference between a large gift and a small gift. A small gift, the person's Samech Das, and so he's not allowed to back out of it, even though it's just a verbal agreement, but a large gift, the person's not Samech Das, so he's allowed to back out of it. Anyway, we have a story who got rid of there was a fellow to Yav Zuzi Hashem Shemi. He gave Morjet's money for sesame seeds. Afterwards, sesame went up, and Hajibahu, they were chayzer from it. They didn't want to give him sesame seeds because they can make more money by selling it to somebody else. But Amrulay, they told him, less on Shumshmi. We don't have sesame seeds. Shkel Zuzach, take your money. And Loshakel Zuzi, he didn't take his money. What happened? Ignov, his money was stolen. Also, made the Rava, so they came in front of Rava. Amrulay, Rava told the buyer, Kim the Amri Lacha, Shkel Zuzach, since they told you to take your money, but Loshakel, and you didn't take it, Loyimbay Shemer Sachar Loyhava, wouldn't even have to say that he's not considered a Shemer Sachar. Elafilu Shemer Chinam, not Miloyhava. He's not even considered a Shemer Chinam. And even if he was Paisheya, he was negligent with your money, he still wouldn't be Chayv. So you lost out on your money. However, Amrulay, Rabban al Rava, the Rabban told Rava, these merchants have to accept upon themselves a Mishapara. So Amrulay told them, Hachinami, you're 100% right. Either the merchants do not have to refund him his money, but then they would get a Mishapara for backing out of the deal, or if they don't want the Mishapara, so then they would have to refund him his money. So now this is the version of the story that we have right now. However, we're going to totally turn it around. Amr Papi says, Amrulay Ravina told me that Lididi Amrulay Ahumi Rabbanon, the following Rav told me, this is what Ravina told Rav Papi, and who is this Rav? Rav Tavus Shmei, it was Rav Tavus, Amrilon some say it was Rav Shmuel Bar Zucha Shmei, and this Rav, this Rabbanon, was so trustworthy. If they would give him all the treasures in the world, he would not go back on his word. So now that we have this preface, how great this Rav is, what did he tell Ravina, who told this Rav Papi? This whole story that you just quoted happened with me, and it happened totally different. It was one day, Erev Shabbos, Bavi Sivner, and I was sitting. There was a fellow who came knocking on the door, and he asked me, do you have any sesame to sell me? I told him, I don't have any sesame, I'm sorry. So Amrulay, he told me, please take my money and let them be bekadim by you. Let me deposit them by you. It's Erev Shabbos, because it's getting dark. So Amrulay, I told him, the house is in front of you. In other words, you're more than welcome to go into my house and put them wherever you want. So it's Svinu Rebesa, he put the money in my house. And it was stolen from there. And also, I came to Rava. Amrulay, he told the fellow, call Habesel Kamach. Anytime a person tells you the house is in front of you, it's open to you. You don't even have to say that he's not a Shemer Sachar. He's not even a Shemer Chinam. And even if he's Paisheya and he's negligent and the money gets stolen, it's not his fault. Now, really, they told him, the Rabbanon told Rava that he has to accept a Mishapara upon on himself. And Amrli, he told me, that never happened. In other words, the original version that we had of the story that had to do with the Mishapara, it never happened like that. It was just a misquote of the story, and this just had to do with the deposit made Erev Shabbos being stolen, but nothing to do with the Mishapara. And going on to explain the last part of the Mishra, Shimon Omer, Kol Shekas B'yada Yada Al Yonev Vechulu, the one who has the money, he has the upper hand. In other words, Rav Shimon holds that the one who has the money, he could back out, and the one who paid the money is not able to back out. So Tanya Vibraiso, Amr Shimon, Shimon says, Emesai, when is this? Bizman Shekasav HaPeres B'yad Meicher. That's only when the Kesef and the Peres, meaning both the money and the merchandise, is in the hands of the Meicher. Aval Kesef B'yad Meicher, who pairs B'yad Lekeach, if the money is in the hands of the seller and the merchandise is in the hands of the buyer, any Yachal Achzer Bay, then the seller is not able to be Chayzer, Mebnei Shekasav B'yadai, because his money is in his hands. We just clarify what he means. B'yadai? What do you mean it's in his hands? B'yad Meicher, who? It's not in the hands of the buyer, it's in the hands of the seller. We say, right? What does Rav Shimon mean? Elo Bnei Shedmei Kasva B'yadai. The reason why they're not allowed to back out is because the value of his money is in his hands. Ask the Gemara Pshita. This is obvious. What we just said was basically a fancy way of saying that a sale was made. Reuven gave money to Shimon, and Shimon's merchandise made its way to Reuven. And so in this case, no one's allowed to back out. What's the chiddush over here? This is just a case of a regular sale. Of course, no one's allowed to back out. So Amarava, he clarifies, Hachamai Skino, and what are we talking about over here? Kigan Shahaisa Aliyah Shalakach Muskaris Biad Meicher. We're talking about where the attic of the Lakach of the buyer was rented to the Meicher, and that's where the merchandise was, and the Meicher sold the merchandise to the Lakach, and that merchandise happened to have been located in the warehouse, in the Aliyah, or the attic of the Lakach, but again, it was being rented by the Meicher. Why is it that we said the Rabbanu were geyser that the only way a transaction is made is with Mashiach and not with money? It's a gzera. Maybe the Meicher is going to tell the Lakach, oh, I'm sorry, your wheat burnt up in the Aliyah, and he's not going to bother saving it because he already got his money, and therefore they made this gzera. It's not considered the Lakach until he actually does Mashiach on it. But hach over here, b'shus ha'lakech nenu, it's in the reshus ha'lakech. Remember, it's in the lakech's aliyah. And he nafal d'leka ba'ines, even if a fire happens ba'ines, yutar chomaisila, he's going to work really hard to get it because he doesn't want it burning down. It's in his storage house. And therefore, in this situation, even though Mashiach was not done on the merchandise, since it happens to be located in the lakech's reshus, the moment the money is paid, no one's allowed to back out of the deal. We have a story of who gavra d'yav zuzi achamra. There was a fellow that paid money for wine, but he didn't get his wine yet. And l'saif in the end, shama the kabay l'mitzvei d'bei parzik rufila. Here that the household of Parzik, who was a very chashiv important minister, and he was actually Rufila, which is the second in command to the king, that they were going to take away all the wine that he had bought. And I'm really, so the buyer told the seller, Havli Zuze, give me my money back, Lebi Ina Chamra, I don't want the wine, because if I take the wine, it's just going to be taken away from me. And also, Kamei Rav Chizda came to Rav Chizda, Amalei told him, Kedar Shetekin Mashiach Meichrin, Kach Tekin Mashiach Melukuchas, just like they were talking for the Meicher, then until Mashiach was done on the object, the Meicher is allowed to back out, so too, by the Lekeach, and until Mashiach is done, Lekeach is allowed to back out as well. And so you, Mr. Buyer, are allowed to back out, even though you paid the money, since you never did a Mashiach on the wine, you can step out of the sale and demand your money back. Now, from this mission to the end of the parak, we're going to be learning about Aynah, issues with pricing, which some translate as price fraud. Now, this is both on the seller's part, which would be overcharging, and on the buyer's part, underpaying. And we're going to see the key number over here is a sixth. If the discrepancy is less than a sixth, then we say that there's mechila. It's assumed that everyone is okay with it and nothing is done. And if it's more than a sixth, either side can be mevatel the sale, whereas if the discrepancy is exactly a sixth, then there's a difference of opinion between this mishnah and the next, which is the halacha. This mishnah holds that the buyer has an option to cancel the sale or keep the sale and just get refunded that sixth, whereas the next mishnah holds that the sale cannot be canceled, but the buyer could get a refund. So mishnah tells us, Hayna arba kesef me'esem v'arba kesef l'sela. Hayna is 4 kesef out of 24 kesef per sela. In other words, when a silver sela is worth 24 kesef, Hayna is 4 kesef. And what is this? Shtus l'mekach, that's a sixth of the sale. Now that we know that Hayna is a sixth, we have another question that's important. An masai mutav l'hachzir, up until when is the buyer allowed to go back to the seller showing him that he was overcharged? And the answer is, akadei sheyara l'tagra l'krevai, up until the amount of time it takes to go to a merchant to show this item and see if he got overcharged, or to his car of his relative to ask him the same question. And this is a standardized amount of time, and once a person waits that amount of time and he hasn't come back to the seller, he loses his right to be tavea the ayna. Now this is all shitas chachamim. However, higher Reb Tarfon from Belud, Reb Tarfon from Paskin the Lud, ha'ayna shmeine kasef me'esar abal kasef l'sela, ayna is actually 8 kasef out of 24 kesef. 124 kesef makes up a sela, which means shlish lemekach. Ayna is actually a third of the sale and not a sixth. V'samchu tagri lud. And the merchants of Lud were very happy because now if they overcharge a sixth or even more than a sixth up until a third, they have the upper hand and not the buyer. However, Amar Lahem, Reb Tarfon told them, kol hayom mutar lachzor. All day long, he's allowed to be chazer, meaning the one who's overcharged is allowed to come back to you and claim that they were overcharged. So Amar Lahem, they told him, yuneach lona Reb Tarfon kamenu, we're going to leave Reb Tarfon in his place, v'chazal divrei chachamim, and they went back to passing like the chachamim.
him, then even though the cap of Aina is only a sixth, and more than a sixth, we say that it's batal, at least when there is Aina, the person does not have all day to come back to the seller. He only has Akadei Shiar Latagra Likraivai. And the Gemara says, Itmar was stated, Rav Amar Rav says, what is Aina? Shtos Mekach Shaninu. We learned that it's a sixth of the Mekach, of the sale. Whereas Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Shtos Mais Nami Shaninu. We also learned that it's a sixth of the money and not just a sixth of the sale. In other words, when Rav says, Shtos Mekach, it means we always start our calculation with the price of the item as the base. First we ask, how much is the item? Then we ask, how much was paid? And if the difference is a sixth, that's Aina. Now, although Shmuel agrees with this, he holds that we make another calculation as well, Shtos Mais, which means that we first look at how much money was paid, and that's the base, and then we see how much the item really costs, and then we make a cheshbon based off of that. And we're going to see that there are cases that are a difference. As the Gemara shows us right now, Shavi Shisa B'Chamisha, Shavi Shisa B'Sheva, Kuli Amolei Pligi, Debasar Mekach Hazlinon. If it's an item that's worth six, and he sold it for five, which means that the buyer underpaid, or he sold it for seven, which means that the buyer was overcharged. Everyone agrees that this is considered going Basar Mekach. Again, as we just explained, Basar Mekach means you take a look at the price of the item first, and then the price that was paid, and over here there's a clear difference of a sixth, because the item was six, and the price that was paid was five or seven, and so that's a discrepancy of one in both scenarios, which is a sixth, again, under the calculation of Shtos Mekach. And this would be a case for no. Kipliyi, what's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel? Shavi Chamisha B'Shisa, V'Shavi Shiva B'Shisa. An item that's worth five that was sold for six, or an item that's worth seven that was sold for six. In the first scenario where it was worth five and six was paid, so vis-a-vis the Mekach, the price of the item itself, the discrepancy is more than a sixth. It's a fifth, because the price was five and the buyer paid a fifth more by paying six. However, in terms of the money paid, we first look how much was paid, that was six, and how much was the cost of the item, that's five, so that's still a discrepancy of one, but that's a sixth of six, because again, we're starting out with six, not with five. And in the next situation, where the item was seven and he paid six, it's the same idea. Vis-a-vis the Mekach, the price of the item, which was seven, the discrepancy is less than a sixth, because he paid six. But in regards to the money, the discrepancy is exactly a sixth. He paid seven, but he should have paid six, and the difference between six and seven is one, which is a sixth of six. In other words, in these scenarios, it makes a difference if you're going to look at Shtos Mekach or Shtos Mois. So Shmuel, the Amar Basar Mois, as Linan, according to Shmuel, who holds that we also go Basar Mois, not only Basar Mekach, but also Basar Mois, so either the Idi Hava. In both scenarios, where he paid six for a five item, or he paid six for a seven item, we're going to say that there's Aina, which over here means that the discrepancy was precisely a sixth. Whereas L'Rav, the Amar Basar Mekach, as Linan, according to Rav, who holds that we only go Basar Mekach, Shavi Chamisha B'Shisa, Bitol Mekach Hava, when he paid six for an item that's worth five, so over there there's Bitol Mekach, because he overpaid by a fifth, which is much more than a sixth, and Shavi Shiva B'Shisa, Mechila Hava. In the next scenario, when six was paid for a seven item, so that's Mechila, because that's less than a sixth. And for the clarification, Shmuel Amar Shmuel holds, Ki Amrina Mechilu Bitol Mekach, Hecha Deleka Shtos Mishnei Tznadim. The only time that we're going to say that there's Mechila because it was less than a sixth, or that there's Bitol Mekach because it was more than a sixth, that's only when there's no way to possibly calculate a sixth from both ways, Mois or Mekach, Aval Hecha Deleka Shtos Mitzad Echad, but when there is a possibility of calculating a discrepancy of exactly a sixth in one way or another, meaning either Mois or Mekach, I know Hava, so that's considered I know, again, which means a discrepancy of precisely a sixth, and there will not be Bitol Mekach or Mechila in that situation. So now we see how these opinions fit into the Mishnah. Tanan, our Mishnah said, Haino Dalad Kesef Esen Varba Kesel Asela. Aina is four Kesef out of 24 Kesef that make up a Sela. Shtos LeMekach, that's a sixth of the Mekach. Now, my love, isn't our Mishnah talking about the following? Dezavin Shavi Esrin BeEsen Varba, then an item that's really worth 20 was sold for 24, which Mami know we learn from here, Shtos Mois Nami Shaninu, that our Mishnah is also teaching that we Cheshben Shtos Mois. Because if you look at the money that was paid, 24, and then you look at the price of the item, 20, which is how Shtos Mois works, as we explained, that's a six. And the Mishnah says a six. So clearly the Mishnah holds that we could also Cheshben Shtos Mois. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not a raya. Really, what's our Mishnah talking about? Dezavin Shavi Esrin Varba BeEsrim. It's talking about where he sold an item that was worth 24 for 20. And that's Shtos Mekach, not Shtos Mois. Ask the Gemara, hold on one second, Minas Ane. In that situation, who got frauded? Who's the subject of the Aina? Meicher was the seller. Well, that wouldn't fit into the Mishnah because Ema Seifa, take a look in the next part of the Mishnah. Ad Masay Mutar Lachzir, up until when is he allowed to be Chayzer? Bechle Shiyar Latagar Lekrayvoy, the amount of time it takes to show the purchase to a merchant or to his relative. Varm Rav Nachman said, Lo Yishanu El Lekeach, that was only said by the buyer, Avol Meicher Lo'ilam Chayzer. The Meicher is always able to be Chayzer. So explanation of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. We just tried to show that the Meicher was one that was underpaid, and then the next part of the Mishnah says that the person has a limited amount of time to be Chayzer. Well, the only one that has a limited amount of time to be Chayzer is Lekeach, not the Meicher. So that can't be your understanding of the Rish of the Mishnah. Ella, rather, must be, what's our Mishnah talking about? Dezavin Shavi Esen Varba, Be'esem Utamanya, where he sold something worth 24 for 28. And that's the situation of Shtos LeMekach and not LeMois, and that's the situation where the Lekeach was the subject of the Aina, so we don't have the Raya from the Rish of the Mishnah like Shmuel. So Gemara attempts another Raya from the Seifa of the Mishnah, which really is more or less the same attempt that we just had in the Rish of the Mishnah. Tanan, what did the Mishnah say in the Seifa? Hayy Reb Tar from Blood, Reb Tar from Paskin Lud, Hayy Nash Mani Kesef Me'esem Varba Kesef Vesela, Shlish. shlo mekach, then I know is 8 kesef out of 24 that make up a sela, and that's a third of the mekach. My lav dezavin shavi shisri be'esim varba. Wouldn't that be talking about that he sold an item that was worth 16 for 24? Yishma mino shlishma is not mishaninu. And we see from here that we also make a chashbin based off of the mois, because he paid 24, the item was really worth 16. Again, that's the way to chashbin mois, and that's a discrepancy of a third based off of the chashbin of mois. Clearly, Mishnah is like Shmuel. So Gemara says lo dezavin shavi esim varba b'shitzar. It's all the way around. He sold an item worth 24 for 16. Ask the Gemara, minus ana. In this case, who's the one that's suffering the ayna? Meicher. It's a seller. Well, aim a seifa. The next part of the Mishnah, Amr Lehem, Rav Tarfon told them, meaning he told these merchants, kol yom mutar lachzor, all day he's allowed to be chazer. But after that day, he's not allowed to be chazer anymore. Rav Nachman, said, lo yishanu el loikeach. It's only loikeach that's limited in the amount of time he has to be chazer. Aval meicher, but the seller, if he's underpaid, loyalim chazer, he's always able to be chazer. And so Rav Tarfon's case can't be talking about the meicher being the subject of ayna. Al rather, must be dezavin shavi chavdal betlas new train. The Rav Tarfon's talking about he sold an item worth 24 for 32, and that's a shlish. And again, that's based off of mekach and not mois. So once again, we do not have a raya for Shmuel from our Mishnah. However, the Gemara suggests tiny kavasa to Shmuel. We have a brisa like Shmuel. The brisa says as follows: Mishu hutol olav yada al yayna. Whoever was imposed upon, he was the subject of the yayna. He has the upper hand. Ketzad, what's the situation? Machal yishava hey bevav. Let's say an item worth 5 was sold to him for 6, and that's shtos mois minus ane. Who's suffering the yayna over here? Loikeach. It's loikeach. Yad loikeach al yayna. So it's loikeach has the upper hand. Ratzo Omer, if he wants, he could say, tell me ma'isi, give me all my money back, meaning I want to void the sale completely. Oy, or you could tell me masha inisani, I want you to just give me back that which you overcharged me, but I want to keep this sale. The brass continues, machar loy, no namal on top, shava shesh b'chamesh. Let's say he sold him something worth 6 for 5, minus ane, who's the subject of yayna over here? Meicher, it's the meicher, because he got underpaid. And in this case, yad meicher al yayna. The meicher has the upper hand. Ratzo Omer loy, he could either tell the buyer, tell me makhi, give me back my item, I want to void the sale completely. Oy, tell me masha inisani, or make up for me that which you underpaid me and give me that extra amount. As we see clearly that the ratio of the Braiso is talking about a case of shtos mois and the Seifa is talking about shtos mekach, so we see that this Braiso is a raya for Shmuel. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow and continue to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.